All right. Well, welcome to the Big Ticket Life, where my guests are doing life and business on their terms. They break the rules. They see the opportunities. They've had the struggles, the highs and the lows, and yet they've always remained focused on the goal, on life and business. Live on their terms, their way, unapologetically focused on their success and the success of those around them. And we celebrate that success because we live the big ticket life around here. So today, I am very excited to have with me James Emerson, founder of Renew Roofing, successful roofing company now for almost a decade. He's a husband, father of four, considers himself a serial entrepreneur. Apart from being not only the founder and the CEO of Renew Roofing, he's also got a coaching business called Boss Up and J&S Investments. And James, welcome to the show. I want to jump right in. Welcome.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, man. So thanks for joining me.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. It's like we've gotten to see each other quite a bit this year so far. So I'm going to put the Hulk hands down for the moment because you know, they're great for the alter ego. That's kind of my alter ego I put on in my mind when I strap in to do business for the day. But I do have to control some gears here, and they're not conducive to that. But anyway, so let's jump right in. So I talk often with my guests about their alter ego, about their mindset, things that they do to mentally get themselves ready for the day. How about you? Do you have a specific alter ego character or frame of mind you throw yourself into to begin each busy day you have?
Yeah, so basically, I just every day I look in the mirror. And I tell myself that it's going to be a good day, whether or not it starts out, you know, the best or not. You really got to make it what you want it to be. So if you start the day off with positivity, you're going to have a positive day.
Yep. Yep. Actually, that's right from an old book, Psycho Cybernetics. Wow, I really messed that one up. Psycho-Cybernetics, old school self-improvement book from, I think early 60s or late 50s. But anyway, yeah, I mean, starting out, positive frame of mind, always good. I like that you look yourself in the mirror, right? It's a good way to take stock.
Yep.
Take stock of who you are, where you are, what you're there to do for the day. Let's kind of, for our guests here, let's kind of just kind of paint the picture of how you here today in the seat you're in talking with me. Where did Renew Roofing begin?
All right. Well, we started basically as a small operation. It was myself and a few guys. We were installing shingles all ourselves. And I found out real quick that I could make money doing it. So I started a business, went through all the hoops and everything, got registered, got my contractor's license, and became legit instead of just doing doing it on the side. And once we did that, things really started to change. I started having the mindset that I can't make, as much as I want if I'm doing everything myself, if I'm doing all parts of the business myself, all from, the bookwork to doing the bids to making the sales to installing the product, it was just basically you can't grow a company doing everything on your own. So back then I owned a job. And so I've changed quite a bit growing throughout the years. I mean, we've grown from a few guys to, a few crews to, multiple different locations across multiple different states. So, I mean, we've steadily grown, and it's all been, I think, the vision of not slowing down and not, I guess, plateauing and getting that comfort level.
Right. Yeah. Around here, we call that, you realized being a CHEVO, a chief everything officer,
yeah,
is not right? That's just not the path to success.
No,
it really isn't. And I think a lot of business owners, they go through their day, they go through their week, month, years with like this almost like stranglehold on the work because they never jump into the systems. They never jump into the process. They never jump into the work of building that machine that gets them out of the everything seat and into that investor, what I call that investor seat, where they're the investor in their own business. They're kind of like the board of directors guiding that business. And you're squarely in that seat today with Renew Roofing. So what was that turning point where you said, you know, you realized it, but was there a moment like you're stuck up on a roof and like a freak ice storm comes in? You know, you had yet again a miscommunication with the supplier. What was that moment where you just said, enough of this? I can't be everything.
Well, it was actually one day we used to subcontract a lot of jobs. You know, when we started out, we were getting our work from larger companies,
right?
At the time. So that's when I realized, you know, I wanted to be doing what those companies were doing. So I got in good with some of them, and I started learning their processes and different tactics. And I've actually almost surpassed the ones that I was working for. So it was the turning point of seeing where I wanted to be and that I couldn't get there doing the same stuff I was doing every single day.
Mm.
So I had to make changes.
Yeah, so many people live out that truest definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again.
Right.
But expecting that different result, right? Like if I just, you know, and I don't know if I shared this with you, but I spent about 18 months to 2 years right after high school doing roofing work. So yeah. like I know the work. I know it's hard. And I know, like, I know it's easy for people to think, well, if I just get that much quicker at installing a square of shingles, or if I just find that slight edge of supplier,
yep,
you know, that'll be the thing. They always, a lot of people think that it's those slight edge things that make the big shift, but it's really not. It's really the big move in your mind to say there is a better way forward. And you just, yeah, you're very smart. I hope listeners picked it up. The lesson was you saw what others were doing that weren't you and said, I want to go be like them, which is very smart.
Right. And it was basically, it took me seeing that I wanted to be where they were, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I watched what they were doing and I learned from them. And then once I got to that level, it was more like, okay, what's next? Not, oh, I've made it. I've arrived. It's okay, I got here. Where am I going next? So I started looking for other companies to basically aspire to be. And I mean, it's every day, you know.
Right.
When you get to a certain level, you got to keep growing. Otherwise, you get that plateau and then you hit that comfort level.
Yeah. Yeah. Comfort in business is just about as bad as losing business, because really that's in the background. That's actually what's happening. When a business gets comfortable, they open up their flank for exposure from their competition. They open up their flank for lazy,
yep,
customer experience and fulfillment, right?
Yep.
You know, and then all of a sudden one day it just kind of seems to fall apart, which is unfortunate for some.
Yeah. And we've actually saw that happen, not just in the roofing industry, but I think everybody has saw that happen with, you know, retail, you know, different retailers. They've, they stopped growing, they stopped evolving with the times. And now, you know, big companies like Amazon, who didn't exist, you know, 30 years ago, put out of business all the retailers that did exist, you know, for 100 years, you know.
Yep.
And it's that mentality, like, oh, well, we're so big, we'll never fail, or, you know, we've made it, we don't need to do anything different. So
yeah, it's it really is eye-opening to me. You know, my primary business is retail. We've always battled against Amazon, so you say. Part, the whole underlying theme of the big ticket life and the folks that I work with, that I coach, is really about that battle on Main Street, right? It is about big versus small. It is about, and I work with some bigger clients and not necessarily small ones. They wouldn't classify themselves as small, but you know, when it comes down to it, it really comes down to accepting that Amazon's going to do what they're going to do. Your competition is going to do what they're going to do. And if you act as though you sit in their decision room on their board, you're kind of behind the eight ball, right? Because you can't control what they do. You can 100% control what your business does.
Yep.
You know, I talk with my peers often and I say, you know, you're speaking as though you have influence on their decisions, all while leaving the conversation of your own decisions, your own direction, the own influence you can create on your customers and your town and your market. So I see that often where people get very comfortable to kind of point the finger at where their excuses for not succeeding may be.
Right.
Yeah. Very good point there. So when you sent over some of your information about being on the show, we talked about this before we started. I really like what you said about how people can succeed despite their circumstance and they just really need to kind of go grab it. Talk a little bit more about that. What have you seen there? And how have you helped people?
Mostly with myself. I mean, I've got the, you know, came from nothing story, just like many others. Maybe a little bit worse. I mean, I grew up, you know, in a small town of 380 people, and we were as poor as it come. You know, we didn't even have running water for the first 10 years of my life.
Wow.
And I'm not that old, so it's kind of strange to think about that. You know, but yeah, I mean, so for me, I've always known that I had an entrepreneur type mentality, and I always knew that I could build stuff. I always knew that I could make money somehow. But I got roped in early to just go out and get a job and try to get a better job and make more money that way. And, you know, I was limited by my time, you know. There's only 24 hours in everybody's day. And unless I decided to be a doctor or a lawyer or somebody that was going to make, you know, a few hundred dollars an hour, I was going to be stuck, you know, pushing the clock somewhere and making, at least in northern Wisconsin, a $30,000 to $50,000 wage. And that just didn't work out for me. I dreamed of more. And right. I think the reason I dreamed of so much more was because I started with nothing. You know, it's different when I think you grow up and you see other people that have not so much, you know, success, but like for us, it was a funny thing, you know, when I would visit somebody else's house and I thought they were rich just because they had running water and we didn't. Now it's like, that's a strange thought, but the times, you know, the times were, you know,
right.
We were so poor that no matter what, somebody else was more successful, it seemed. So I wanted to aspire to be somebody else. When in turn, you know, looking back now, it's like, man, that's what made me who I am. And that's what gave me the drive to continue growing, because once you've been there, right, you know, mm-hmm. you don't want to go back to that.
Yep.
Ever. And yep. Some people hit rock bottom, you know, later on in life. And I did a couple times, you know, growing up was just, you know, circumstance, but, I mean, I, I've been broke many times in my life, and it's one thing to be there, and it's a whole nother thing to stay there.
Just let's take a step back for a second, because I think the fact that people just heard, I mean, how old are you, James? You're 45-ish?
38.
38. Yeah. Okay. I guess it's the beard that throws me off a little bit there.
It's great.
So first 10 years of your life, 38 takes us back to, you know, you were born in 82.
80, is that right? 83, yeah.
83. Yeah. So like you're listening to somebody, you're watching somebody today on this show who in 1983 through, you said the first 10 years of your life, 1993.
Yep.
Lived here in the United States. Is that Wisconsin?
Yep, northern Wisconsin.
No running water. So, like, I haven't lived that life. I've lived a life where I knew there was a little extra money hanging around if there was hot dogs in the macaroni and cheese.
Yep.
Okay. And I remember a time in class where we had pizza day and it was $1 a slice for pizza. And like, that was the only meal. And I was really upset because I got the small, like it was Domino's pizza too, right? Like think of that racket the school was running. A buck a slice for a Domino's pie back in the 80s.
Yeah, $5 pie maybe.
Right, right. And I got a slice that was like, you know, very small. And I was upset. And what the teachers didn't understand was that was like the meal of the day.
Right.
So for those listening, just to touch on it for a minute, what was the day like without running water? Like brushing your teeth, taking a shower, bath. Like, I'm not sure many people have lived that.
No. So bathing was strange, to look back on, but, we would in a sense go swimming with soap. So we'd go to, down to a lake and we'd go swimming, and that was our bath. Unless we caught rainwater, when we had some good rains, we had, a container that we could, catch rainwater and use that for bathing and stuff. But, drinking water and stuff, we would go and we would purchase that almost like, bottled type water. You'd get gallon jugs, right. And it was basically free back then. Bottled water was, you know, still strange to people.
Right.
We would hunt a lot for food, you know. It was the way we survived. And, you know, it wasn't because my parents didn't work. You know, both my parents worked full-time jobs. My dad was a welder, and he worked night shift. You know, he was, you know, sleeping when we went to school, and he was gone when we got home to go to work. So it's like, didn't really, you know, it's not that they weren't working hard. It was just their wages were so minimal.
Right.
But, it didn't bother like my brother and I, because that's how we were living. You know, that's all we knew. So we thought it was normal.
Right.
And then,
right.
The only time that we didn't think that it was normal was like when we went to visit a friend's house or anybody's house and they had running water, and we're like, dang, this is awesome. You know, like you guys are rich. And, you know, so that was, it was different, you know. I guess a lot of people would probably want to, you know, ask about, you know, where do you use the restroom at? Well, obviously that was, you know, like a lot of people, when you go camping, you know, you got to go outside. Right. There's at most campgrounds, there's an outhouse, you know, a lot of events, there's porta-johns now. Well, that's the same thing, but the difference is when it's 30 below outside in Wisconsin, you're going outside to go to the bathroom. So that's pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's an experience that most don't get to experience or really want to, but you touched on something. You said we hunted a lot for food. So you've literally lived the eat today what I kill today. You know, you've literally lived that. Your family probably got to a point where the food supplies, the stock was getting fairly low, so the pressure was on. Is that fair?
Yeah. You know, some months, some days, you know, whatever were tougher than others, you know, depending on what expenses we had as a family. And we would, you know, supplement our groceries with, you know, food that we could either, you know, fish, you know, we'd go fishing and catch a lot of fish. We would hunt deer, rabbit, squirrel, any small game. Right. And it was, looking back now, it's 100% organic diet. So, I mean, might be worth some money.
Yeah, you were cutting edge before it was cool.
Right, yeah.
But now I kind of bring that up and circle to that point, because there's so many people that talk about that. I know with the folks I work with, I really try to talk about getting the business away from, oh my gosh, you know, the rent's due next week, you know, first of the month's coming up. We got to sell something this weekend, right? That's what I call the eat today, what we kill today mentality.
Right.
You have to get a business running in a different way, really your life in a different way, to where you're far more stable, you're far more consistent in growth, consistent in mindset, consistent in opportunity, consistent in marketing, messaging, the whole thing. So it isn't these episodic moments of we sell something, so things are great, and then we haven't sold something, so things really suck, right?
Right.
That's just a terrible way to exist. So you grew up, you lived through what, you know, I'm sure you had a lot of fun. It sounds very idyllic to me. It's part of the intro video is me and my boys hunting. You got to do it like all the time.
Yep.
For us here in the city, not so much, but, so now you've got Renew Roofing, you've got the investment. So, what's it like to think about where you came from versus where you're sitting today?
It's humbling, really. We've got a great, you know, thing going. We got a great life. We got, you know, anything that we could possibly need. But I think for me, I'd be just as happy with, you know, less. But I want to keep going to show people that it, you know, like I say all the time, it doesn't matter where you come from. You can find success anywhere. Especially today, man, you can have success without even leaving your home. It's that easy, really. But
yeah, what we're doing right now.
Right. Right. But the mindset is, especially, you know, in rural communities, like, oh man, this is all I'll ever be, or this is, you know, this is just how we've always done it, and this is where, you know, I'm going to grow up, this is where I'm going to live, this is everything that I'm going to have. Or, you know, it's that feeling of being stuck that I want to help people get out of. So
yeah,
you know, go back to when we were kids and you dreamed of, you know, driving a sports car, you dreamed of having a huge house, or you dreamed of, you know, visiting, you know, different countries, traveling, whatever it was. You know, everybody started life dreaming. But once and you know, we get in this groove of going to school, and you know, once you get into high school, you get thinking, well, what are you going to do after school? And so many people, oh well, I don't really know, so I'm gonna, you know, just go get a job and just do this, and or I'm gonna go to school and just do general study. Well, man, you really gotta know where you're going. You gotta have a destination. Otherwise, you might as well just walk around in circles.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. You said, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to do general studies. And it just kind of hits me. The world doesn't reward general.
No.
Right. The world rewards now more than ever competency and skill. I say this often locally at a local level and some of my personal endeavors that, you know, the world rewards competency and skill, not certificates.
Right.
And today more than ever with technology at our fingertips, I think that is easier for people to raise themselves up and grab onto that success. So really, you know, we talk about, you know, we're in the same Apex mastermind network, right? We talk about that force of average. You touched on folks from a rural area, kind of live and do things the way things have always been done, which is really the living embodiment of force of average, right?
Yeah, really. But it's about, you know, they're just comfortable with that, you know, and there's not saying there's anything wrong with that. If that's what makes them happy, that's great. But if at any point during a day, I always, if they're saying at any point in the day, I wish I was there, or I wish I could do that, I wish I was, you know, more successful. Well, that's the force of average. If they're just sitting there and wishing and not making something, making moves to make it happen, that's the force of average. They're comfortable in living, you know, the average lifestyle. Well, are they or are they not? They're making that conscious decision that I'm comfortable here, but I wish I was there. You know, so that to me is what I want to help, you know, so many people get out of.
Right.
Because it's not hard. It's not hard to make, you know, six figures a year, seven figures. It's not hard. The mindset is what's hard. Just the getting out of your own way is hard.
Yeah, the discipline to be disciplined. Yeah. That's the hard, right? Yeah. There's sayings out there, choose your hard, right? Like being poor is hard. Being hungry is hard on your lifestyle. It's hard on your being. You know, being successful is hard. So choose the hard, right?
Right.
And so when you talk with people, this is your opportunity to kind of give a little taste of what it's like to sit down with James, talk with James, lift up your life, elevate with James. What are some of the things you talk about?
Well, I always try to talk about, you know, where I've come from, make sure that, you know, people can relate. I think that's a huge thing. If people can't relate to you, they're not going to listen or get any value. Simply because if we're sitting down with somebody that's making $1 billion but has never lived, you know, anywhere less than 100 million, how can I relate to that guy? You know, everything that he says isn't going to pertain to me until I get to the 100 million mark. You know,
right.
But if I sit down with somebody that maybe they're making 50,000 a year, but they know they can. They know they can do more. They know that they've got an idea or a business that has more potential. Well, let's take a look at it. And yeah, you do. I've been where you're at. Now I, you know, tell them how I was there. They can relate to me. I can relate to them. And we can build off of that versus, you know, yeah, I could pull up in a fancy sports car or something and you know, be flashy, but at the same time, people are going to see that and not be able to relate to me.
Right.
You know.
Right. And you, and for the record, you've got a couple of those flashy cars.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a couple.
Northern Wisconsin boy done good, right? You've got a couple of those.
Yeah. They sit in the garage, you know, 6 months out of the year.
Not exactly conducive to those Wisconsin winters.
No, but they're fun, and it And it's good. You know, it's not so much, you know, I love cars. I always have. I have them more for talking about them, more for getting people to engage than I do for just being flashy. You know, they get attention everywhere you go, especially right. in northern Wisconsin, you know, or any rural area. You know, you show up in a Porsche, you know, anywhere in, you know, let's just call it the woods. And people are going to be like, hey, that's a cool car. You know, what do you do? Well, and then I start breaking it down for them. And I tell them, you know, hey, this is, you know, this is where I came from. And this is what we do. And this is how you can do the same.
Right. So when folks like you or I achieve levels of success, right? And even above where you and I might sit today, we all have our thing. Right. So for you, it's cars, or maybe cars is one of a couple things.
But yeah.
What is it about cars specifically? Is there something special there? Cause like for me, it's old school trucks.
Yeah.
And I know why it is, but you go first. What is it about cars?
Man,
beyond the engagement point, is there something special there?
Yeah. So I've always worked on anything with a motor, anything with wheels. You know, man, I loved hot rods, you know, growing up. I still love hot rods. Anything that, you know, you can fire it up and the engine can come alive fast. And yeah, not even go fast. I mean, I got some big trucks too that are slower than, you know, molasses, but
right.
but they're cool, you know, they're in their own way. That
yep.
I think what attracted to me the first, you know, when I was young, I remember going to a racetrack with my family and watching the dirt track, circle track going around. And I just remember it being so loud and you could feel the exhaust rumble in your chest. And it was like, man, this yep. is, and yeah, it just pumped you up. And then I guess I just started tinkering, and I've always loved, you know, building things. And I wanted to build hot rods actually growing up. I aspired to build, you know, work on cars, and I ended up going to school for that even after high school.
Oh, wow.
I went to tech school to work on cars and, do automotive maintenance. And I found out real quick that I could, man, after I graduated that program, I was going to make less money working, you know, a job working on cars than I was at the current factory that I was working at during school. Right. Mm. So I was going to take a pay cut because I graduated a program with a degree to go work on cars. And it wasn't going to be what I wanted to do anyway. I wanted to work on hot rods, not change oil and change tires. So,
right.
Life went on, a few different choices, good and bad, you know, and years later, now I've got to a point where I can work on those cars, but I can also own them. And that's where I wanted to be in my youth. You know, I wanted to be able to own those cars, not just work on them, you know?
Right. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. For me, it was, for the old, like the old trucks, I think we talked about a little bit in person a couple times. Yeah. For me, it was Bigfoot, right? Like I grew up with Bigfoot, like great memories as a kid of the Bigfoot truck. And the monster trucks, and for me, it's just so foundational to my youth, and carries forward. And I've shared it with my boys, and we get to share in that, which is all very good. You know, which dovetails into what I want to talk about next is the experience of things and the experience we can give our customers. You know, you talk about circle track, dirt track racing. There is an experience there, and until you felt it, like you, people listening and watching, like when you said the exhaust rattling through, that's a true feeling. There's a smell of it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a feel of it. There's a thunder to it. It puts a smile on your face, right? Like there is a, if you've not experienced it, you can't possibly know. But when it comes down to, to me, experience in life, experience in business, and the experience we give our customers is everything. So when we talk about roofing, right? People listening, watching, like, well, what experience could you possibly give with a roof? You know, like, it's not something I think about. It's not, literally, people might only buy a roof, what, once in their life?
If that, yeah.
Right, yeah, like, I probably wouldn't have bought a roof on the house that I'm in right now had it not been for a hailstorm.
Yep.
Because it was newer, house was newer when we bought it, and the plans are, our plans are on track to where we'll be out of here before we would have had to replace it under normal circumstance. So talk about the experience, the joy that you create, because it's got to be part and parcel of your growth, right?
Yeah. Like you said, people don't always, you know, it's not something they think about. It's not glamorous. You know, it's a roof, you know. There's really nothing fun about it. It's not, right. It doesn't make noise. It doesn't go fast. I mean, it's not.
hit you in your chest.
Yeah, you know, it's a roof. But a lot of people forget that component, that roof, protects everything below it, right? So when we, you know, talk to a customer and we're there to sell them a roof, yes, but we're there also to literally protect their, a lot of times, their largest investment of their life. So we build in, you know, the value, we build in the thought that, man, maybe I should take a little bit better look at this. You know, maybe it's not just a roof. And that's really, you know, what it comes down to. And then our experience for the customer is, you know, we want it to be as seamless as possible. And a lot of our customers, you know, they don't want to be there while it's, you know, it's noisy. It doesn't sound cool.
Right.
It sounds right? It sounds like 1,000 woodpeckers up on your roof, you know, going to town. And it's just crazy. But a lot of customers don't want to be there, and they want to be able to come home and it's done. So the way that we cater to that is we have larger crews where we can do a whole house in a day. A lot of our crews can do 2 in a day. So by the time somebody leaves for work in the morning, our guys are already, you know, have the roof tore off. And we've had it to where at lunchtime, they had a new roof. And the customer comes
home. That's incredible.
Yeah, the customer comes home and they're like, man, it's like you were never here. You know, and my house looks great. Well, yeah, of course it does. You know, we did the roof for you. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, like hearing that, and I did that, right? Like I swung a hammer as a kid. That's pretty incredible because I know what goes into it. Right. I mean, just the answer, you hit it. It's just having bigger crews. I mean, it's not the answer. There's many answers to it.
Right.
Right. But that's just incredible to think that you get it done in a day, and sometimes a crew can get 2 in a day is pretty wild. I know for me, when we replaced our roof here, I was disappointed in one aspect of it because we've got the typical East Coast combination of browns and beiges, right?
Yeah,
and the drip edge that they put on was white, so looked like a gingerbread house. So for anybody listening that's not James, who knew right away my frustration, and me who lived my frustration, the house looked like a gingerbread house. Like think of a gingerbread house and you dot the roof edges with white icing and it just stuck out like a sore thumb. And we got back, well, you signed off on this. So wait a minute. You guys knocked my door, said, hey, did you know you had roof damage? We're the experts. We know this, 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 and this, and we can get all this done. And I just said, yeah, let's do it. If you're saying there's damage and I can have insurance replace it, great. I rarely ever catch breaks like that, you know? It was part of that experience. Like, I think so many business owners kind of fall back on that policy aspect of things, right? Well, we set these policies in place so that the customer signs off and we're protected. And that's a good, you know, that is, having policy is a good thing.
Right.
But experience should supersede policy creation, right?
Oh, yeah.
So on the other side of policy is incredible experience.
Yep.
Right? So that was kind of my example. Any steps you take there that, like what I just shared there, anything you're doing that you can share in the secret sauce of Renew Roofing that stops frustrations like I just shared?
Yeah. We have a thing called a pre-start checklist. And it, you know, our sales reps go over it with the homeowner, and it's got basically all of the expectations of you know, what to expect when from job start to finish. And a lot of people, you know, the reason we implemented that was because a lot of people, if they watch the process, they start freaking out because the second the roof gets tore off, it looks, you know, it's a disaster, right? I mean, it's, yep. You're tearing off, you know, thousands of shingles and they have to come down. So where do they go? They go onto tarps and we cover the ground and everything. But we would get calls, you know, of people that didn't know what to expect. And we would get calls and they were wondering, like, why is there piles of shingles on the ground? Are they going to pick these up? Yes, of course they're going to pick them up. You know, it's like,
right.
But it's those little things that they, you know, we all assumed, you know, that, hey, you know, obviously we're going to tear off the shingles, you know, it's going to hit the ground, you know, we're going to pick them up and then, you know, put them in the dumpster or a dump trailer. But by us assuming that people just knew the process,
yeah,
that's what prompted us, like, okay, we need to have this, and it's just a simple, you know, checklist, and we go over it with each customer, you know, line by line. We even have them initial each line so that they know, like, hey, this is the process. This is what, you know, can happen. If mm-hmm. this happens, you know, this is how we remedy it. And, you know, anything that's unforeseen, this is what we do with it. But right. definitely building the expectation ahead of time has been a game changer. You know, like you said earlier, you know, people don't buy roofs like maybe once in their life.
Right.
They don't know what to expect. You know,
yeah. So, you know, for a company like you, where you're literally, you know, I was going to say you do this every day, but sometimes your crews are doing it twice a day.
Yeah.
And a customer does this once, maybe twice in their lifetime. You know, I think the takeaway is for anybody watching, listening, is to realize you're not your customer, right? Your customer doesn't live in your shoes.
Right.
And, you know, if part of your presentation up front is, and I'm sure it is, you know, we protect the thing that is over your head. It protects your most valuable asset. It protects everything you cherish and love. And then you come in and rip into that and like scar it, which is what it looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very jarring. It's messy. Yeah, if the customer's not prepared for that, that can definitely be a problem. And I can see where people would get a little frightened by it. So that checklist, that's very smart. I really like that. I know last I talked with Savannah, she was talking about an exciting team member that you'd hired. So you're building, you're growing.
Oh yeah.
What are some of your steps that you're taking to grow the company? What do you look for in folks? Like what's the expectation you set with new people you bring on?
Actually it goes back to core values, and with getting those ironed out and really focusing on that has been a game changer for us. And anybody who's in Apex knows Thomas Keenan. And if they haven't read his book, I mean, anybody that's got a business needs to read that book. I don't know if we could say the name on or the title on the air, but it's Un-F Your Business.
So, yeah, you're allowed to cuss on
here. Right on. So Thomas's book.
Yeah, the book's called Unfuck Your Business.
Yes. his book is awesome for any business that needs to get clear on core values, and it'll change your company. But that's how we are growing, and it's not that we're growing super fast, but it's steady growth. And I think a lot of, you know, in the industry, you see a lot of companies that do grow fast, but then they can't, you know, maybe their revenue grows fast, but their back office doesn't, and their systems and processes don't. And when your influx of business exceeds how you can handle it, it's setting your entire company up for failure. And I watch it all the time, especially, you know, new people getting into, a hailstorm goes through a small town, and then every, you know, fourth, fifth person is a roofing company. It's right. Like, man, you're in for a world of hurt. You know, you're not going to be able to bankroll these jobs for as long as it's going to take you to collect the money. So I see a lot of people with a huge influx of growth that they can't handle it because they're not ready. But
yeah, so that growth, well, good on the front end for your customers, really becomes a problem because the experience suffers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be transparent with you and with anybody listening. One of the things that impedes my growth in the retail business is the ability, like we can, and we are just about got it figured out, but it's taken me years to figure it out. And that's shipping from afar.
Yeah.
Because we have such a high standard for in-home delivery. And, you know, kind of like your checklist, right? Like you really took a step back and you said, let's really put ourselves in the customer's shoes for the best outcome for them and for our company. In my business, I always challenge my peers, think about it this way. How many people have been in your bedroom? Like personal friends, family members. You invite them into your bedroom often? You don't. And, you know, there's a joke in there. I'll leave it out. But anyway. But really, take a step back and think about that for a second. Like, and you're just hiring anybody out there for $10 an hour. Like, the final experience of your business is some kid you picked up because you showed up on time.
Right.
Like, that is not, like, when you talk about core values, that's not about at all. Like, one of our core values is we will have you wake up happy and be happy throughout the day. Well, if you're not going to take care of somebody's home, especially in their bedroom, that doesn't line up with making you happy throughout the day, right? So, that experience is part and parcel. Growth can be great, but if you outgrow the experience, can really be a problem. So we've really been thinking about the kinds of companies who we can align with to fulfill that final mile, you know. And really, what we've come down to is finding companies that do similar work in their town. Across the nation, really, as opposed to just outsourcing it like everybody else does. So experience for us has always been a great thing. Experience for you is top notch. Those, as we look to wrap up, care to share your core values with your company, with those listening?
Most of it is, so we do what we say we're going to do. We want to change how people think about contractors. And now I'm having a, I don't have them all memorized. Do what we say when we're going to do it. Own up to everything that you do. And also another big one is be who you say you are.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, those are all really great. And I'm sure your customer ultimately can see that come through. I mean, we've got your website up now. Doesn't look like the typical roofing website, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's
about like not just being who you say you are, but like that's my interpretation of committing to excellence, right? So right. Everybody interprets you know your core values differently. But how you, in your company, you portray your core values to your people, right? The mm-hmm. words can be interpreted multiple ways. Anybody that reads yep. one line can interpret it differently than you, but it's how you portray that into your company.
Right.
Yep. So,
yeah.
And I think you've done it very well with your company, I'm sure, with like you were saying, when you're going into people's most intimate areas of their home. Like when company comes over to your house, most people shut their bedroom door, you know, because it's
right.
That's your space. And yep. your company is going into that space. Like, I mean, you got to be really tight with your core values and who you bring on. So,
yep. Yeah. One of those for us, and I want to circle back to one of yours about changing the perception of contractors, because I think that's a very important one. But to dovetail into that, one of ours is integrity is what you do when no one's looking. Yeah. And you know, that directly translates to our delivery crew in somebody's home and in their bedroom, right? Because you could have somebody say, hey, I had a Rolex on the nightstand and it ain't there now.
Yeah.
Right. So we always take steps where that can't possibly be said, right? Because there's always two people in the room. Yeah. Our delivery guy's never in the bedroom alone. And if he is, he's there with the customer. Right. But integrity is what you do when no one's looking. That translates through to the sales floor. Because when we have somebody hammering us for a deeper discount, I just say, listen, we are the price we for the price we're charging, I want to give you that 5-star wake up happy experience.
Yep.
So you're putting me in a rough spot because I don't know what to peel away. Because the price I'm asking includes this amazing experience, which you read about, referred about, what brought you to our business today. And moreover, if 10 people bought the bed you're considering, I don't want you to think about, did you get the best deal or the 10th best deal?
Right.
I want you to get what you want that's the right fit so you're happy. And that integrity is what you do when no one's looking really translates all over. But your mission, because we're coming to the top of the hour, and I think it's a great place to wrap up, talk about your goal of changing the perception of contractors, because I think that's very interesting and very worthwhile to dig into for a minute.
Yeah. So, you know, most contractors will tell you that being a contractor is tough because there's such a poor perception. You know, oh man, contractors, they're going to rip you off. Oh, they're going to run off with your money. They're not going to do the job, or you know. You name the scenario, but if everybody thinks like that about contractors, it is hard to go into a transaction or a job as a contractor to believe that, you know, the customer is going to be happy. So if you start the process knowing that you're changing how they're thinking about the contractor in the beginning, it's gonna roll over to the end of the job too, the final, when you do the final walk around with them.
Right. Yeah, very smart. I love it. Love everything you're doing. Very happy getting to know you and your great family. We didn't talk at all about your family. You've got a wonderful wife, Savannah. I think it's okay to share. Yeah. She's at an event, kind of getting out of her comfort zone, right?
Right. Yeah.
Pushing herself.
She's in Phoenix, Scottsdale right now with another Apex members event. Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa's putting on an event down there. So that's pretty cool.
Yep. And then you've got four kids.
Four kids. Yeah. I actually have my 2-year-old has been running around here. So I don't know if you heard him or not, but.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done well. He's done well for the hour that dad has.
Yeah. I told him to shh a couple times, but, but our three oldest kids are in school. So it's just me and him today. But, Yeah, he's been pretty good. I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, we won't keep it any longer. Really, James, really appreciate you coming on. You've got James's information in the post here or in the show that we've put on, renewallroofs.com. On Instagram, Your Roofing Contractor, you can find it there. On Facebook, the same thing, Your Roofing Contractor. James and Savannah are really great people. I'm humbled to have gotten to know you and your wife both. Looking forward to getting to know you more and more as we move on through 2022 together. James, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.